fresh oil from heaven.
Welcome to Ed Zifrine Ministries, reaching the world through God's love and His power. Experience fresh oil from heaven as we enter a service already in progress.
From heaven, He's sending fresh oil from heaven.
Resident in a prophet is the counsel of God. The heart of God, the pulse of God. You're in Jeremiah 1. Go over to Jeremiah 23 with me, will you, for a minute? Now, like I said, in other sessions, we'll get more in depth in it. So we're just doing a kind of a review of the prophet's ministry. And this tape will be one of the first ones that will have a series on the prophet's ministry. In Jeremiah 23:16, it said, "This saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain." Now here, a true prophet of God distinguishes or divides the truth from the false. I believe because of this, there's so much misunderstanding about the prophet's ministry. There's a lot of people going around saying, "I'm a prophet." You got to watch out for the ones that go around saying, "I'm this and I'm that" all the time. You know, if you have to go around and force it on people, the body of Christ, well, the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. And the body of Christ will recognize the prophet's anointing. Yeah, you don't have to go around and say, "Well, I'm a prophet, you listen to me." And just because you're prophesying doesn't make you a prophet. So we need to divide from the true from the false. Now you notice what it said here. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You got to watch it for the ones that butter you up all the time. Well, that didn't go over very big, did it? Now, you know, when a prophet speaks to you, there'll be uplifting, there'll be exhortation, and so forth like that. But there's a lot of things going around being said. I had people phone me up. "You got a word for me?" Yeah, I got a word for you. Go read the word. They think you can just push it on or push it off anytime you want to. You got to watch out for that. You see, as that mantle comes on you, you know, a prime example of a general today in a prophet's ministry is Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin's ministry, I mean, you know, he's a teacher. He teaches the Word of God. But he's a prophet. And he's one of the ones that God is using in his last days. And he's on his, what we'd call, the last phase of his ministry. And it's very important that we listen to what the prophets of God are saying. Can you say amen?
Amen.
"And they still under them despise me. And the Lord had said, you shall have peace, and they shall, and they say unto every one that walk after the imaginations of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who had stood in the counsel of the Lord and had perceived and heard his word, who had marked his word and heard it?" Now what's he saying there? These ones that prophesy the true and the false ones will prophesy out of their imagination. They'll imagine things. But the ones that are in the counsel of God and before God. That's why God's been dealing with me just here recently, that starting the first of the year, not that I don't, but that I've got to go and spend more time with God. That I can't be taking care of the other matters that have to, you know, the office and everything else. God sent me good people to do it, but God's just been dealing with me to get the counsel from Him. Are you listening to me? So a true prophet will hear from God, the counsel of God, and speak. I have a lot of people call me up in meetings as I travel all over, you know, and they say, well, come on, you got something. Well, I could have something down in there. But yet, you know, they try to force you. They try to get you, no, you got something, come up and prophesy. You say something. Well, I can't get up there and just prophesy. I mean, some people get up there, hey, just saith the Lord, and just, I mean, they're just so eloquent tongue and everything, you know, just like they've read it or something. But see, I can't do that. Anointing has to come upon me before I can, where you can get into that, you know, where you can hear the counsel of God. Yeah. Now, you can get up and prophesy and predict some things and so forth like that. You understand what I'm saying? And we must do those things. Prophets are friends of God. Now, I like that. You don't mess around with God's friends. And we'll get in more depth. I'm just giving you an overview tonight. And I'm doing the best I can with anointing that is here. Prophets are friends of God. In Amos 3:11 and Exodus 33:11, you can look that up and study it later. Now, here's another one. See where a lot of people misunderstand the prophets. What I'm talking about, I'm talking about the character of a true prophet. Prophets or prophetess are men or women of demonstrations. Everybody say demonstrations. These often make them act strange. And many times they physically display their messages. Now you see a lot of people have made fun of Pat Harrison through the years. They had a church over here I remember when they were on Lewis Street and the power of God was flowing in their churches. It was just so powerful. And they'd get up and how they moved and operate. Well, just the other night at the ICFCN meeting, Jerry asked Pat and Buddy to come up. Harrison, I'm talking about. And then asked Vicki Jameson. Then asked Jeannie Caldwell. And then asked myself. And each one of us, as we went down the line, we ministered. Well, Patsy would start acting out things and doing things in the spirit. Now, people in the natural mind would look at them, you know, even in a religious setting or even in full gospel church, say, well, they act strange. You see, to the carnal-minded person, things that they do would say, well, they are strange. Well, they act things out. That's why prophets are different. I didn't say goofy, I said different. Some of them just plain get goofy and everything else. Some, you know, it says they're prophets. And as we learn, as the weeks go by, you'll find out you cannot call yourself in to this ministry or this office. And we will study and I'll show you we're in danger right now where people are trying to walk in the prophet's ministry or any other office. They try to walk in that, and you can. And a pastor, if you're not anointed to be a pastor, and I'm going to bring out, I don't know what day it'll be or what night, Friday night or Sunday, but I'll bring out to you what happens to you if you try to walk in that and you're not called in that office. So it's going to be interesting. Can you say amen? And we also, what we're talking a little bit is the character of a prophet. Prophets are men and women of confrontation by nature. It seems like they're always going a different way than the rest of them. Nathan said, "Thou art the man." That didn't make him very popular. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal. John the Baptist said to Herod's wife. That didn't go very big at all. I know what I'm talking about because I've been in churches where the pastor's wife had a Jezebel spirit. Everybody say Jezebel. Had a Jezebel spirit and they want to run the church, and if you don't bow down to them, matter of fact, I've been asked to leave out of church because the pastor's wife didn't like what I said and because I didn't recognize the anointing that was on her life. And that's happening a lot too, my brother and sister. I never seen it. You know, they get the Jezebel. And I ain't picking on the ladies. I'll get on the men a little bit too. So, I mean, Are you listening to me? Jezebel spirit, she don't get her way, bless God. So they have little fits. I do not bow down to Jezebel spirits. I don't care whose church it is. I'll just, you only go so far as the pastor in the church. Then you just have to leave. We don't allow any Jezebel spirits in this place. John the Baptist said, you're living in sin. And they don't like that. I said, they didn't like that. Just last night in the prayer line, Brother Summerall over there at the Sheraton, at the minister's convention that we had. And he asked for us to come up and pray, me and Pastor Parsley and Happy Caldwell and stuff. And we got praying. And a lot of times in the prayer line, God will have me do strange things. And one man came, and I don't remember who it was. They just came and let me know about it after the service. Got me out by the restaurant. You got to watch it, man, when those women come after you in the restaurant after a meeting. Are you listening to me? Confrontation. See, sometimes that don't make you too popular because you're going to cross the grain. Are you listening to me?
Oh, yeah.
And I was praying, and I prayed for many of them. I said, there it is. You know, and a lot of times the Lord will have me hit them like that on their face. And that doesn't go too good sometimes. Or I lay my hands on their head or whatever. Or the Lord will have me go like this. Or I speak in tongues or whatever. You're dealing in the area with minister. We're dealing in the spirit. And apparently, I don't know which one it was, but one of the men got offended, and he was a Southern Baptist preacher. And just because he didn't understand what was going on, it sounded like his wife was pushing him up there being the line. Well, she came after me last night and stopped me and said, I just want you to know, brother, we love you. Oh, praise the Lord, Here comes the vain words, look out. And said, well, we love you and everything else, but, yeah, watch out for those buts. And said that, we don't... my husband got offended the way that you prayed for him tonight. And it just came out of my spirit. I said, well, what is he doing in the line then? I mean, well, you don't get in no line. I mean, if you're going to sit and criticize how a guy ministers to you. He said, well, you could have been more gentle. I said, well, I don't know what I did. He said, the way you put your hands on his head, he said, you could have been more gentle about it.
Oh, yeah. Religious devil.
And I got to sit there thinking about it. Yeah, that's right. And I got to think, the more I looked at her, I said, well, why ain't her husband over here telling me about it? Why is she? And the Lord says, she got a Jezebel spirit. He said, well, he really didn't want to come up there in the first place. And I said, well, there's the problem right there. You drug him up there and he didn't even want to be up there. Are you listening to me? And you'll have that. I want to tell you, never, never pray to be a prophet unless you're going to be able to take confrontations. And as the anointing gets stronger. Huh? I'm not telling you you're fighting with everybody, but there's a confrontation. There's things when God tells you to speak. You're God's men. You're God's friend. You hear God's voice. You get the counsel from God. And you have to say what God says. Can I give you a little bit of insight? Unless the prophets come forth and speak, this country's in trouble. They've got to get before God. They have to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. I got this. I'll share this with you. I got a little insight on Brother Hagin after he left here. Then a couple weeks or so afterwards, he was at Brother Happy's church, and after the service they took him back to the room, and he went back to his room and sat down, and he started prophesying under a heavy anointing. I don't know how long he prophesied. Sometimes a lot of people think that a prophet has to get up in front of a crowd and prophesy, but they can prophesy in their prayer time. They can prophesy in a private place and change things in the spirit. Are you listening? And change things in the spirit as that anointing comes upon him. I'm not talking about everybody says, well, I got the anointing within, that's all. You know, I'm talking about a mantle that comes on you.
Amen.
And then he deals with things in the spirit realm. And I just like to, I said, well, what did he say? Well, we don't know. There was only another person, too, and another, just a couple more people with him. And I said, well, I don't know if they had a tape recorder. It's always good to carry a tape recorder around a prophet of God. You never know when they're going to go in the Spirit. That's right, you don't. I was over at Bob Yanian's church preaching at another ICFC, and Brother Hagin ministered that night, and we went walking in the back room, and I got involved in it. You talk about acting strange. Power of God hit me, and I just got spinning like a top. Have you ever seen anybody spinning on a top by the Spirit?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think, oh, that ain't of God. You shouldn't never say that.
Yeah.
You haven't seen nothing yet. It's all in the Bible. Read the Bible. God came down in a whirlwind and caught a bunch of people up, man. And he's talking about some strange thing. We got criticized for that, man. Me and Brother Hagin talking in the Spirit with tongues. And a bunch of people went out and taught in their Bible school that was not of God. Huh? Well, he said he heard them in their own language. They were speaking in tongues. You can communicate in the Spirit to each other.
That's right. Yes, you can.
I'm going to do some teaching on that, too. It's about time some things be said about that. Word of faith people saying things. I'm not talking about Presbyterian. I'm not talking about ones that don't believe in, you know, the ones that don't believe in tongues. I'm talking about the tongue talkers. Supposed to be tongue talkers. Somebody's got to do some teaching on these things because of this next revival. Some of these things are going to happen that they're going to need understanding. And of course, there's the right timing for it because you get it out of timing and preaching on these things that I'm preaching on to you tonight and people get squirrely. Everybody go out and think they're a prophet. Because they prophesied once, they think they're a prophet. Or they had a vision, a night vision or something. Woo! I'm a prophet, you know.
Or deliver.
Then they get weird, get a beard, go out in the side of a mountain or something like that and have five wives or something like that. Or the kind that go from church to church and they say they've been called to straighten churches out.
Oh, yeah.
And they sat in the back and after the meeting they go prophesying everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Let's say to the Lord, you married the wrong one. You need to divorce your husband and marry somebody else. And that's just probably what that whoremongering spirit wanted to hear in the first place. Moving right along, since that didn't go very big. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, well, ma'am, just as nice as I can say it, I said, he should have never got in the line. Well, you could have been more gentle. See, what she was doing is she brought her husband there and she was dictating to God and to me how God was going to minister to him. The guy didn't want to be up there in the first place. That's why he got offended in the first place, because he didn't want to be up there. And she had it all figured out. You got to watch out for them and go, I love you, brother, but now if I needed to be corrected, we'll get into that. Prophets can be corrected. Prophets can get into error just like anybody else. If you don't keep your life right, you can get dingy too. Think you're seeing visions when you're seeing devils and you can't tell the difference, you know. Are you listening to me? You see, so some things are going to be happening. Now listen to this. Number 6. The prophets are saddened by what grieves God. Prophets are saddened by what grieves God. Now, I didn't understand that for several years. I thought, well, that depression that my mother had tries to come over on me at times. But see, I didn't discern the difference between grieving and depression. I'd be in meetings sometimes, and I'll tell you, just like, you know, I just get so grieved. And you know, and I said, well, I can just see this service ain't going right. It's grieving God, saddened by God, bunch of flesh. The music get out of hand or something. You go the wrong way and get in the flesh. I've seen that happen with Brother Hagin sometimes. He'd get ready to prophesy, and all of a sudden, the music would go the wrong way. That's because the musicians are not in tune with God. They don't spend time in prayer either. You can just get in the wrong way. See, music is so important in a church, the right kind of music. You see, that's why we got all kinds of things. Now, you stay in love with me. You know, I was supposed to go to church here a while back, a few weeks ago, and I needed to go financially because, you know, we just built a new building. We don't have a big congregation. I mean, it's growing fast. But yet, you know, they've got to keep the finance. You know, I don't like for meeting. But God said, don't go to that meeting. And find out they had ballerino, ballerino dancers, you know, with this stuff like this, you know, on toes and tippy toes and walking around. And Now, there's a place for drama. Don't go out there and get mad at me. There's a place for that. But yet, you know, we're getting into things that sadden God, that grieves God. Because, you know, any kind of music, any kind of thing that brings attention to the people and not unto God, it grieves God.
Yeah.
I don't care how good it is.
Yeah.
Are you listening to it? If you got all those ladies out there and they got these, you know, they just little old dresses and you can see everything hanging out and their rear end and everything else. I guarantee, I've watched on the platform when I've been in churches like that, and I watch all the men and they're all sitting there. They ain't worshiping God. Moving right along. I have never seen a 500-pound woman do that in church. They got all the little skinny ones up there. And you know, that grieves God. When people, you say things like that, they get mad. So we got to bring in the true worship, what don't grieve God. But getting back to it, there's many times I get grieved. Well, that means I got to get off, you know, what's... and pray and find out, well, what is it? We got to change that in the spirit. I'll tell you, these prophet fellows are strange fellows sometimes. And they're moody. Now, that ain't an excuse to be a crab all the time. You know, in the flesh. But you know what? When they're grieved by God, sometimes they just get moody. Now, I'm not talking about being moody because you have financial problems or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? But they are. They're different. You can go all the way through the Bible and find out those fellas, they're all different. They're a different breed of people. A true prophet, you can't buy them. Huh? I watched people last night, just amazed. Ministers, pastor in church. It's just a wonder they can even pastor a church. And you just see who they want to lay hands on them. You got a bunch over here, you know, they didn't want to get over on this side. They want to get over on this side because I was over there laying on. They heard there's an impartation in my ministry and the anointing that is on mine. No, I want him to lay hands. You know, they want. And as Elaine has that anointing would wing because you could tell them that they weren't in the right spirit. They'd say, they're sitting there looking me in the eye instead of going up and praising God. I'll tell you what saddens God is when we give men all the glory. You know what's going to happen? A lot of these men that we as Word of Faith people, now you can have heroes and everything, but we must be careful that we don't worship these men. And you'll start seeing their crowds delivering and going down and down and down because God is the one that's going to get all the glory. I said, God is the one that's going to get all the glory. And He's the one to get the glory. But I'm going down the line here and showing you the character of a prophet. Now please do not run off in this one meeting and take one thing I said and go out and be goofy. You're going to have to come back to the whole thing until we teach this thing out or at least make a dent in it for you can find out why they're that way. Why are they moody? Why are they saddened? Why are they grieved a lot of times? I've been grieved for 2 or 3 weeks, tell you the truth. I have. I haven't been able to rest. What is it, Lord? What is it? And you know, things must be right. Prophets must listen to God and say what God says. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You getting something out of this?
Yes.
Prophets are saddened by what grieves God. Number 7, prophets are men of intercession. Prophets, many times and even in meetings, and when it comes on me, when intercession comes on me. You know, we've been to say that we come to prayer meeting, we call them intercession, and we come in, well, I've been in intercession. No, you've probably been praying in the Spirit. But unless the Spirit of intercession comes on you, because Jesus is the intercessor, and that Spirit will come on you where you start. And a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever been in meetings when it hits me. Oh, my, it'll just start. Especially if I'm praying for somebody. It came on me when I was praying for Brother Hagin. Deep intercession where you're praying. And prophets, they'll go into deep intercession. I wish you, as a class, we could have been over the other night when Buddy was ministering. And I was right behind Buddy praying. It was time the anointing would start weaning. And it hit me and I had to intercede. Then it would come on him stronger as he moved back. Then turned around and it was when I was ministering, he was doing the same thing to me. You see, because we know we need each other in the body of Christ. And especially when this wave hits, we're gonna have to get together and stay together. And help one another. I had a minister tell me, he says, you know, I've been over there in your Friday night services. I've never seen anything like that. I said, you just like a music director. You just direct. You got something by the Spirit? You got something by the Spirit? You see, that's the way it should be. It should not be a one-man show. Of course, we got leaders. I'm the president. I'm the director of this ministry. But there's a lot of facets of this ministry that are going to start manifesting that I cannot do it. I've got to discern the different parts in the body of Christ. The one-man show type. Now, you're going to have leaders. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You can't have 25 leaders running a ministry. You're always going to have the tenor. You're going to have somebody over. That's just the way it is. But yet, on the other hand, are you listening to what I'm saying? And so, praise the Lord. Prophets are men of intercession. He not only speaks to God about men, but he speaks to men about God. That's in Exodus 32, 7 to 42. You can read that and study that. Of course, we'll get into it in a later date. The prophet is a man of expectation, faith, and hope. The prophet is a man or a woman of restoration. Remember Daniel. He brings us back to God, and he brings God back to us. Prophets bring God back to the body of Christ. That's why they're so important to the body of Christ. I'm telling you, this office here is different than all the other offices. It's different. We must realize that prophets are friends of God. You must not touch a prophet of God. Even if he's in error, you don't touch him. Or raise your hand like they've done to Jim Baker and how these preachers have gotten on TV and fuss and fight. Well, we're not like him. What do you mean you're not like him? Him is part of you. I don't care what they've done. Love covers a multitude of sin. I wouldn't be worth a diddly do if I was a pastor and somebody come in there and counseled me and told me all their sins, they've been in adultery, and for me to go around this whole and this whole staff and the whole church and tell everybody what they did. That ain't the love of God. That's just plain dumb gossip. And once that person finds out, they say goodbye. I ain't telling you nothing, dude. And they shouldn't. Are you listening to me? There's not too many books on prophets. What's the name of that book that Joe? Elijah's Task? Elijah's Task is a good book. We're going to get some of those because we're going to be studying it. And I don't know when, maybe when it's going to start, but we'll have a school of the prophets and study some of these things. How many of you got a nugget or two since we've been here? Praise the Lord. Since prophet is a man of expectation, faith, and hope. Now, you know, we hear a prophet, well, this guy is a prophet of doom. Well, stay away from me. Just because you say something and get things corrected, you're saying something by the Spirit, you can still have faith and hope in it. These doomsday prophets, you don't want to listen to them all the time. Well, you know, some of them prophesied California is going to fall off in the ocean. Every time they have an earthquake, here comes the doomsday prophets. Yeah, the big one's going to come. I gotta tell you, it ain't going to fall in the ocean out in California. I used to say this, as long as me and Freddie's in there. Fred Price and Ed Dufresne. Of course, I moved. Now Fred's got it, but I'll tell you, he ain't going anywhere. He ain't letting that thing go anywhere. And there's some more covenant people out there besides Freddie Price, too. But you got to do, just serve the Lord. Move to the Midwest. Move to Arizona, because that's where the beach is going to be. And then you got to watch out the prophet that just prophesies to you and for you to walk in vain all the time. This saith the Lord, you're going to be a great man and woman of God. Got to watch out for those vain prophets. I mean, try to get you walking in vain of yourself. You're nothing. I said, you're nothing. I was nothing when God got a hold of me. In myself, I'm nothing, but in Him, I am the righteousness of God, and I am something. in that realm. Are you listening to me? You see. So, take that, devil. He brings us back to God, and he brings God back to us. So when Brother Hagin the other night made that turn in the Spirit, made a turn in his ministry, that means all of us made a turn too. Because if the prophets of the land are making turns by the Spirit of God, then that means the body, because they're going to lead the body. Because the Bible, you know what the Bible says? If you listen to the prophets, you'll prosper.
That's right.
True prophets.
Yeah.
Huh? There's a lot of them prophesying. Now, be careful in the next 2 years. Be careful. Don't get too far in debt. Everybody didn't listen to it. They just went ahead and got debt, and a lot of them lost everything they had. Huh? Tim, you remember this. Over there in the second building we had in Los Angeles, I got up to preach one Sunday morning. All of a sudden, I just got prophesying that gold was going to double. Just shoot up. And it did, man. The gold just went shoot. The other day, I don't know if I told you, I came out of the whole hotel room. I told somebody, I said, gold's going to go up a little bit. I was in prayer room, God just, showing me things. Gold's going to go a little bit, up a little bit. If you remember over here at the convention center, at camp meeting, if you was there, you listened on stage, Brother Hagin said that if we're not careful, if we get the wrong man into president, that this economy of this United States would be in a big mess. We'd be in a big mess. And how many of you know if we're in a big mess, it's hard to preach the gospel?
Oh, yes.
How do you know that you can't live in peace when you don't have your bills paid?
Yes.
So we must pray for people. So I don't care about the economy. God's going to take care of me. That's being selfish.
You got that right.
Come on.
Huh? Gets heavier as we go. This is sweet. Huh? So we can prosper by listening to that. Well, all the stock things, that's all it is the devil. You know, he's just trying to mess things up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But he ain't going to do it. Now get this, number 9. A prophet should be a man of meekness, of humility, never conveying the impression that he's infallible. And he is willing to have his ministry in his life, as well as the operation of the gifts, be evaluated and judged. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 22. Did you hear what I said? He's a man of meekness and of humility. Can you say amen? Now, we'll go far as now go over to Jeremiah, first chapter, where I told you to open up the first part of the service. I think before we get into the prophets, many are studying about the prophet. We've got to find out how he's called. Let me make a statement to you. It is vital to know beyond a doubt that you are called of God to be a prophet. It must be confirmed beyond any shadow of wavering. Because, as James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, that's true of any calling, really. I mean, if you got doubt about it, you better not go into ministry because the devil beat your brains out. I mean to tell you, he just beat your brains out. If I was on an operating table and, just a wonderful doctor, he'd come in and had nice credentials and everything else, and I was still awake, and they didn't put me to sleep yet, and he said, well, I don't know if I can do this or not. I'd say, get this guy out of here. I mean, know what I'm talking about. I mean, he better have confidence in what he's doing. I mean, he could be nervous, but I there's times when my knees shake when I get up to preach. But I know, and that happens in time. Knowing that the calling and the mantle is on my life, what God called me to do.
Amen.
That's why many of you probably went to ORU, or many of you went to Rhema, or you went to some school or something to find out. A lot of people go to Bible school or training centers, they really don't know. They just feel a calling. They feel an urge in their life. They want to do something for God. Well, it takes a while for that to progress, that you know what you know what you know. Are you listening to me? And we'll learn how you can tell if you're a prophet or not. How many would like to know? Just like you can tell if you're a pastor, you know, those characters, the character of that mantle will be on you. You can tell. Are you listening to me? Now, in Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll start with the 4th verse, and it says this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Boy, isn't that something? Isn't it amazing when people abort children, they say, well, that was nothing but a blob. But God says, I knew them before they were even formed. In the belly I knew thee. Make a little side trail here. That's why they say, what is it, Tim? Over 1,000 babies aborted right here in this city. Over 1,000 babies aborted a month. And what's tragic is now they're thinking about where they take a tissue out of those aborted children and use them for people that have that kind of disease. You know, they shake, what do they call it? Alzheimer's disease. That's what they're saying. And it says here, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You don't know a piece of blob. Moving right along, I just thought I'd throw that in case. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. You know, or I set you apart. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. First of all, you got to be set apart by God, not by man. And then you got to be commissioned by God and ordained thee, commissioned to be a prophet unto the nations. I see a very, very an error running in the body of Christ right now. You know, there's a lot of teaching, and a lot of it's truth, because I believe in it. The apostle and the prophet and the teacher and so forth that God said in the church, that's the way everybody should have. Everybody believer should have a prophet. Well, not necessarily, unless God set ones in there. But what they go, because somebody prophesies, I've had people say, well, this is our resident prophet. Yeah, it looks like he sat down and camped here. I mean, sometimes you look at him. And a lot of them, I don't know why, they're just big. You know, they're just big old guys, never do nothing, just go around. It saith the Lord! No, it's just saith him. Sits on the platform up there, you know, looking over everybody like this and everything else. And then I walk in and they say, he's a resident prophet. And God said, no, he ain't. He said, men set him in there because they're trying to set the New Testament church up. But unless God sets them in there. I said, unless God sets them in there. Are you listening to me? And I mean, I've seen shipwreck. I've seen people, this saith the Lord, give me your house. I say, this saith the Lord, you married the wrong person. That could be true. But you're to leave your husband and go with me or somebody else. That's nothing but a bunch of junk. Are you listening to me? That's nothing but a bunch of trash. I've had people, well, I didn't like what this guy said, so he went over to another church where they had a resident, supposed to be, quote, quote, men set him in there, and said, am I to do this? Yeah, you're supposed to do that. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear truth. Amen. They want to hear what they want to hear. Yeah. Well, moving right along. I know this is different tonight than the other Friday nights. It's good. Amen. Yeah. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And that's a strong word. Whatever I command you to speak, speak it. I tell you, there's something about a prophet or under the anointing of God, when he says something that God commands, it's stronger. It goes stronger, deeper into the spirit realm. It can change cities. Are you listening to me? And be not afraid of their faces. Oh, my. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Sometimes you got to be delivered from people worried about what they say. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. I remember when God did that to me. And the Lord said unto me, look, I have put my words in thy mouth. And see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. Now here's what a prophet does sometimes. To root out, to pull down, root out religious teachings, pull down religious doctrines, and to destroy and to throw down, and then notice what else? Then to build and to plant. To build and to plant. That's why it's very important that pastors recognize the prophet's ministry and have them come to the church, because they could pull things down that needed to be pulled, pull down evil spirits over their church, pull down things that need to be changed, and the tide of their church can be changed to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? See, a prophet is a seer. He'll see things. And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Then he talks to him again. He says, now what you see? You see, when a seer sees something, and then he speaks it, God will perform it. That's why his words won't fall to the ground. He's a seer.
This is the end of side number one. Please turn the tape over to side number two for the continuation of this message.